for people who are transitioning, it's more you're already born who you are as the sex.
Yeah.
It's just physically. So when I was born physically, I was female, but then I transitioned to male. So I just wanted to get the language just right, because it can be quite triggering for some people.
Yeah, and that's obviously quite important.
Yes.
To get the terminology right. And the language right.
Yes, yes.
But you've been on a waiting list, what, since 2009?
Yes, so in 2009 I approached...
Why the long wait?
I fell out of the system. So in 2009 when I approached my counsellor, I got referred to the system. It took 2 years to get the approval to get testosterone, which is the male hormone. Went to my GP, faced a bit of discrimination, got told that, you know, got the run around for about maybe 2 weeks or so.
Hang on, discrimination what, from your GP?
From my GP. So I felt personally it was around religious reasons, because they were, you know, it was a predominantly Asian area, and it's probably stereotypical, but that's the only thing I could put it down to. After giving me the runaround for about 2 weeks, they finally said to me that they're not happy to prescribe the hormones. So I went into a massive, like, dark suicidal depression and had a lot of dark thoughts. Fortunately, I changed GP, who was happy to prescribe it to me, but it didn't end there. After that, I didn't get an official letter from the GIC, which is a gender identity clinic in London. Oh. So they didn't officially just discharge me. So I was sort of left in limbo land thinking, okay, well, when is surgery going to happen? And the experience with getting hormones did leave a really bad taste in my mouth and sort of left me, well, for my own sake and sanity, I don't think I want to go through the NHS. I want to do it privately. Now, if you work a regular 9-to-5, that's quite difficult to make up $7,000 to get your surgery.
But you did it, did you?
I didn't do it privately. Eventually, I got convinced to go back through the NHS system. This right. was only 2 years back now. And it has gotten a little bit better, but it still took about 2 years to get to the point of surgery, which I just had 7 weeks ago. I just had my top surgery 7 weeks ago. So it's been a long, long road.
How difficult was it to... Did you find help in that interim period? Could you go anywhere? Could you talk to anybody?
No. In fact, I had a really bad experience with a charity that was set up to assist trans people. And I said to them, you know, I'm feeling really bad. I'm thinking of taking illegal substance and stuff like that. And the minute they heard illegal substance, they were like, no, I don't have anything to do with it. And fortunately, I've had a lot of adversity throughout life. And somehow I managed to sort of pull myself out of that. You know, I had disconnection from family. I grew up in Jamaica. I was kicked out from my dad. I was kicked out from my mom. I mean, I got close with my mom now again. But it's a lot of adversity.
Why were you kicked out?
With my mom, I suspect it was. I had just disclosed to her that I was trans. It was difficult for her to deal with. She went into hiding. She was going through other stuff. And she just went off the rails, as they say. And it was really, really, really a difficult period for me. And I found it difficult to reach out for help or have support. So this is why I always lend my voice to these causes, because hopefully people will hear this and see that you don't have to take your own life. You don't have to do any of that.
You have travelled back to Jamaica,
yes,
haven't you?
Yes, I travelled back recently after 10 years.
Yes, and you've seen your father for the first time in 10 years.
Yeah.
So how was that experience?
Proper emotional, like you see on camera and you think, oh wow, he's apologetic and he seemed genuinely sorry. And you know, however, the biggest thing was, this is a long period of time of hurt, of scars, and it's very difficult to heal all that in 5 minutes of talking. And I think I will have to go back there and form a proper bond with him again. Because as much as he apologized to me, I suppose I had to then come back to England and then sort of lick my wounds and go, gosh. You know, I wanted to be so angry at him, but he just kept being so nice. I was like, why are you being so nice to me? You know, so it was very difficult. But ultimately, the biggest thing that came out of it was a lot of Jamaicans reached out to me. They were so proud. They were happy. And they felt like finally they can take that risk and step out into the spotlight and be themselves, which was really positive, actually.
So the relationship with your father is on the way to being healed. And yeah. What about you now? How are you feeling about life generally now?
I feel much, much better now. I mean, it gave me a lot of this closure, which is what I didn't have for years. I suspect if it wasn't for this documentary, I probably would never have gone back to Jamaica. I had a lot of fear about what Jamaica was like as well. It has improved so much since then. There's still a lot of work to be done, but it has clearly improved. And I think you know, the future, one day this trans thing's just going to be not, you know.
Listen, great to meet you.
Pleasure. Thank you very much, as always.
NHS England, by the way, blames the shortage of suitably qualified and experienced staff on the limited number of gender identify centres around the country. But they're stressing they're committed to bringing waiting times for gender reassignment surgery below 18 weeks over the next couple of years. Romario Wanless, thanks for joining me on the show.
Thank you very much.